This episode is sponsored by Cruise Planners, aka Dell's Travel Company. If you need to take a trip anywhere, whether it's in the country or out of the country, then Dell's Travel Company is for you. I myself used this service on my honeymoon, but it got me from Philadelphia to Manchester to Liverpool to London to Paris, all places I had no idea what to do when I was there, and I just followed my itinerary and I was all set. So if you want to find out more about this company, stay tuned to the middle of the episode to find out how to join his mailing list. Welcome back to Scene Invaders. This is episode 243. This is going to be a very fun episode. This is volume 3 of Patty Cuts. Thanks so much for coming on again, man. I know you're busy as shit and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I love coming on here. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. It's great. And this is the first time you're meeting Brad from Canada. So yep. What a world we live in that you guys get to meet. Two great people. I love it. Brad, you excited?
Pleasure meeting you, sir.
Okay, let's do this shit. So if you guys don't know, all you need to do is go to Instagram, look up Patty _ cuts with an S, right? Not a Z?
S, yeah. I'm an S guy, not a Z guy.
Yeah, I would be an S guy myself. And you'll just be in shock of the life this man lives. I mean, literally, he just got back in from Kansas City cutting someone's hair, and now he's on a podcast in Florida. And I'm in PA, Brad's in Toronto, so little national podcast here. And his life basically evolved from cutting people's hair for $5 in his basement, then cutting people's hair for $5 in a courtyard in Wildwood, New Jersey. And then you raised it to what, 10 bucks?
Yeah, just the slow climb, 10, 15, 20, 30, 50, 75, 100, so on, you know?
There you go.
What are you up to? What are you up to now?
I'm about to be like,
if you don't mind me asking.
No, not at all. Not at all, because it just shows, you know, the progress. But like if someone wants to come to me and get a haircut now, it's going to be 150. So
that's your average Joe, right?
Yeah, that's just if you want. Yeah, like anyone, it doesn't matter. Anyone, like if Travis Kelce wants to come and get a haircut for me at my house, he'll pay 150. If Travis down the street wants to get a haircut from me, he pays one. You know what I mean? If you come to me, you pay 150. No.
What if I drive all the way from Canada, which I'm going to do, to have you cut my hair?
I would make an exception for that.
And no. Anybody looking at this knows it's a train wreck. I felt really bad, actually. And this guy's professional, and I come on looking like this, you know.
If you drove from Canada, I would do it on the house. You know, that's no. Just.
Oh. Well, then I'm bringing a couple of cases of beer then, because we don't do anything for free.
All right, sounds good.
And we got Roland producing in the back. He's getting ready to host an NBA podcast on Invader Sports. So he might pop in every now and then like young Jamie does. And basically, we're just going to get into the world, if you guys haven't listened, that Pat lives and his evolution from barber to, what would you call it, cinematographer or videographer?
I would say videographer, but I do photography. I do both. I think I'm like a hybrid with that because I really enjoy doing both of them. So I would say photography / videography.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's an interesting thing that I really want to get to know more about, because absolutely, that is fascinating. And we talked a little bit about it last time you were on, whenever that was, how you practiced with your dog.
Yeah, cat and dog. And, yep.
Yeah, and now you're basically, you know, what's the title for Kamaru Usman? What would you call the title?
So I just signed the contract. In the contract, it says creative director, which is pretty cool.
Creative director. Okay. Yep. And that includes basically you following him around during his fight camp, recording, and what else?
Just for whatever he needs. So, you know, that I would do stuff like that. If he needs to do, you know, he's the best in the world right now. So think about mm-hmm. how many sponsors he has. I think he has about 10 sponsors right now. So basically why he hired me was to go in, create the content for his sponsors. And then I have all his passwords for everything. So I have to keep up with, okay, so this sponsor has to post twice a week on the story. This one has to do once a week on his wall. You know, like I got to keep up with that. He's to the point where he don't want to keep up with that. Like he'd rather just have someone do it for him. And we've been friends for a long time now. So he trusts me, you know, to have his passwords, you know what I mean? I can see some shit in there, you know?
Yeah. So,
that's a lot to navigate. And like, so like you'd have to schedule quite a bit and
yeah. So right behind my computer right here on my fridge, I have, you know, one of those planners and I just have everything written down. So it's kind of easy. I just, you know, in the morning I look at it, see what I have to do and then post it.
Does he allow interaction from you? Like you're somewhat behind the cameras, but like, do you prompt him with any kind of questions or inquiries or anything?
Oh yeah. I do all that. Yeah. Because
that's so cool.
What's cool is like he likes my style. So like, he knows I'm, you know, I keep up with the trends, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like, so he trusts my vision for what fans want to see, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like, he don't really think about what fans want to see, but I've been a fan for years, like of fighting. So like, I know what questions to ask, like that fans want to know. I know what, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know what fans want to see and hear from. So it's kind of cool to be able to like, kind of like on behalf of the fans, ask them this stuff and kind of direct them towards like, yeah, like what's going to make his personality and his, you know, image look the best for fans to, you know, just keep rising him up to the top. You know what I mean?
So you're like a basic representation of every fan. Like yeah, exactly. you're the eyes and the ears of what we actually want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's Roland, a hell of a responsibility and you're doing great.
Roland just compared it to Mayweather 24/7, something like that.
Yep.
Okay. Now I can vouch, you definitely have been a fight fan forever. The first and only actually UFC event that I've ever been to was a low level event with Mike Groves and you walked him out.
Yeah. Yep.
Remember that?
Oh, I mean, I was, you know, yeah, barely, but I remember it.
Yeah. You walked him out. I mean, that was a while ago. I can't even think.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that was probably like 2008, maybe a little later than that.
We were young. Yep.
Yeah. And that was incredible, man. I was right there front row. He should have stayed up on his feet though. He went down and tried to wrestle that guy. That didn't end well, but yeah, I mean, I've gotten more into UFC lately because of you and because of Pat Egan. And I just, you know, some of those fights are just so fun to watch and the rivalries and the hype, like Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington, their rivalry, even though Usman pretty much dominates them every time they fight and they fought twice, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder if there'll be a part three to that.
There could be in the future because no one will fight Usman better than Colby. Like it's just not going to, like, those are the two best dudes in the division. You know what I mean? So it's probably going to happen again at some point.
Well, yeah, I guess Colby will need a win.
It'll take a few wins, probably three. So.
Okay. All right. So we're going to give you guys our normal what's new and things we've been watching and everything, but we wanted to do kind of a little interview just to check up on Pat, see what he's been up to. And like he just said, creative director, that's the title.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Creative director for Kamaru Usman. And you know, he's literally, you know, probably pound for pound, the best fighter in UFC right now. I can't think of anybody that'd be better than him. And that's just incredible. Now I forget your relationship with him started from who, or he just found you somehow?
Okay, so this is a cool story because this is like shows like some of like the sacrifices I made to like get where I'm at. So we followed each other for a while. Like he's friends with Mark Ingram. I've been friends with Mark for 5 years now, and we just kind of me and Usman just kind of followed each other on Instagram, but we never talked or anything like that. Like we just kind of like, you know, liked each other's shit. And right before he was about to fight Woodley, this was his first title fight. I was in LA for Michael Thomas for Family Feud, cutting his hair that was a cool experience. I was on set, like got to meet Steve Harvey.
That's awesome.
But I was in LA and we just got done Family Feud. So I think it was like 2 o'clock there. It was a Saturday. Usman had to leave on Sunday to go to Vegas for his first title fight versus Tyron Woodley. And I get this DM from Usman. He's like, yo, what's up, Pat? You think you can cut my hair before I leave for the fight? And I'm like, fuck. Like, I'm all completely across the country. Before I answer him, I'm like, I'm going to look at flights. Fuck it. Because wow. I don't care. I'll buy my own flight. I'll lose out on money. And I'm going to go cut this dude and potentially get him for a client. And that's what I did. I bought my own flight. It was like, you know, the day of. So it was like $400 just one way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, you can eat out on that story. Like, even if nothing came of it, like, that's a story.
I never even told him about this. He don't even know about this. But, wow. Yeah, so I bought my own flight. You know, at the time, I was only charging, like, this was years ago. So I was only charging, like, $150 for house calls. You know what I mean? So basically, I lost out on $250 to go cut this dude. But I went and did it, and that started our relationship to what we got now. You know, and now he's inviting me over for Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I mean? So
no way. Awesome. Is that where you went?
Yeah. He had it on Friday, actually. But yeah, I went over there. Yep.
Wow. Now, I remember, I guess it was his last fight with Covington. During the hype video, there was just a short clip of you cutting his hair. And I remember seeing you. And then going from that, which was probably a year or so ago, to you literally would just name drop by Travis Kelce on ESPN. Like, How do you get used to this kind of stuff? I remember, like, so what was it, SPP? It was one of those shows.
It was what's his name? Another big guy, Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick, right. Yeah. And he complimented Travis Kelce's haircut and said, where'd you get it? And he goes, Philly's finest, Patty Cuts. And
that's the coolest.
It's just like, does he text you that he said that, or did somebody else see it?
He did that interview like months ago. I just saw someone just sent it to me when I posted it. You know, I just saw it the other day. So I don't even see half the shit. But like,
that's just natural. That's just him talking. That's not him name dropping or trying to promote or anything. Like, that's just, you guys got that relationship. You guys are friends.
Yeah, it's cool. So I thanked him last night. You know, I was like, yo, I seen that interview. I appreciate that. You know, he's like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's potentially millions of people that heard that. And it's just incredible. And the way he's like happy to share the information. He's like, oh, Patty Cuts, Philly's finest. Like, he was so into it. Is he still your furthest west, someone you cut?
Yeah, unless I have to go out for like an event. That's like my furthest west client for sure. You know, it's like 3 hours and 10 minute plane ride. It's not, I mean, I'm just used to it now. It's not bad at all.
What's your furthest north right now? Cause you're in Florida.
I don't go to anyone north. I go, I guess New Orleans is north, but now that Mark Ingram went back to New Orleans, I don't have to go to Houston anymore. So I was going to KC every week, New Orleans every other week, and Houston every other week this year.
Wow.
So that's so cool.
Because I was still cutting Alvin Kamara too, but now they're together, so it makes everything so much easier.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, the Saints really were the first team to really, you get multiple people on one team, right?
Yeah, yep. All thanks to Mark Ingram. He put me on to everyone.
Yeah, I saw years ago you guys just playing golf together, and I'm just like, what the hell? Like, fuck yeah, man.
Bro, that's what, like, Dan, that's what people don't really, like, they don't realize, like, you see me, I'm just a regular neighborhood guy, you know what I mean? Like, you seen where I came from, like,
oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and then, like, people that don't know me and see me on Instagram think I'm, like, this celebrity, but, like, they don't know, like, I'd rather just be chilling playing NHL with you, you know?
Oh, speaking of, I brought that up last week. You want to vouch that story?
Oh, I can vouch for that. I can. They were some
best
of the
in the world. One of the best in the world.
They were he was so good at NHL that when he would lose, it was like fucking, like the house was about to come down. You know what I mean? Like it was like, and I would just like sneakily take out my phone and start videoing it. Like, all right, I need to get this on video. This is great. You know?
So do those videos exist somewhere?
Not anymore.
That would have been a good YouTube thing.
It was like before YouTube or like short videos, but if they were somehow dug up, they would go viral. Yeah, it was
like temper tantrum like that. Like it was next level.
That's how Danny gets canceled. That's how Danny gets canceled.
Somebody will find it. Yeah, but like he said,
the Oscars for you, Danny.
I know. So like he said, playing together, like literally some of our most fun nights were, you know, we'd hook up three controllers and me, him and somebody else, we'd all play. You know, sometimes we lock on to a specific position. What fun times we had at that house. That was the only semester I lived at Temple. I moved to South Philly after that.
Yep.
And what a fun year we had, man. That house was absolute chaos.
It was chaos.
So good. And that's when we got Mickey and the legend, man. Missed that dog. He was our little guard dog, but he was so full of love that. But people were still scared of him. People would literally cross the street because it wasn't the best neighborhood. So we just wanted a little intimidation factor. Yeah. And oh my gosh, one time, speaking of Mickey, I don't know if you remember this, Pap. This was one of the first months we had him. And he was a little bad with running. He wouldn't listen at first. And he ran down the street and just somehow this lady opened her door. And he ran into their house.
I remember that.
And ran upstairs. And I'm running after. Yeah. And I'm in North Philly. I'm like 19-year-old little shit. And my pit bull just ran into someone's house. And I'm running after him. And I go, is there anybody else in the house? And she's like, no, go get your fucking dog. I'm like, all right. I went. I got him. I was like, I'm so, so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, fuck, man. And geez, that dog. He literally was a celebrity in his own right, that dog.
Oh, man. He really was.
He was like our mascot. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So I want to get into a couple questions about videography. But before we get that, we can kind of tie it all in with Brad's question. So, Brad, how about you kick it off?
Brad's his will probably be better to tie in. So, yeah.
For sure.
Okay. Well, my question is like from where you came from to where you are, and you're very humble about you're just, you know, a guy in the street and all that such. You're very talented at what you do. There's no question there.
Thank you.
You wouldn't be getting the opportunities you get if you weren't talented. But one thing you are also really good at is branding yourself. You have branded yourself as Patty Cuts to the point in which you still have your own line of product and various other things that are coming. Like, how important is it to really, once you establish something, how important is it to brand yourself appropriately? And following up on that, from what you've seen with the people you're around and stuff, branding is also important. What is it like, beyond doing something very cruel or criminal, what is the easiest way to hurt your brand? Unfortunately, I don't like to talk about that, but it happens.
Oh, that's a great question. That's such a good question, because there's a lot of ways, but as far as like, okay, so branding, like I didn't even know like what I was doing at first. So I just knew I wanted to be known. You know what I mean? Like that was my main goal at first. So I got on Instagram. I saw all these like dope ass barbers doing cool stuff, like going to these shows, being on stages. And I'm watching that and I'm like, how do I get there? You know what I mean? So the first thing I did was I created the Patty Cuts logo, right? And yes. I put that logo, I didn't wear a single shirt besides that logo, besides like the logo on a shirt for like at least 3 years. Every single day, I would just wear my shirts.
I remember that.
Every single picture I would put on Instagram, I would use the watermark. You know, you could throw like a watermark on your pictures.
Yes.
So anytime someone would see one of my haircuts, they would see the logo. So slowly but surely, like, everyone was seeing just this word Patty Cuts, you know, like, and it started becoming like not Pat Regan, but like an actual brand, you know, like Patty Cuts. Like, people even say like, oh, like that haircut, that's a Patty Cut, you know. Like,
oh, right,
not saying like, oh, that's a Pat Regan haircut, like that's a Patty Cut. Now it's like starting to be branded, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like, so the more
visual recognition, like, just so exactly, it went hand in hand.
The more people see that word, the more people, you know, that's why people, that's why, like, what, like, that's why all these companies are paying millions of dollars to have 30-second commercials. So people right. can act, so people can just visualize with their eyes the name, that name. And then they see it in the future and they're like, oh shit, I've seen that somewhere before. You know what I mean? They remember right. it. So like, the more I started to understand that, the more I just put my logo everywhere. I think every 5 months, probably every 3 or 4 months, I would spend my own money. It was like, I would get 100 shirts made, $5 a piece. So I would spend like $500 every 3 or 4 months and just hand out shirts to people. So genius. Now every 3 or 4 months, there's 100 more shirts on the Florida streets or the Philly streets walking around. And people are like,
with that logo and what anyone is this looking logo at with, it.
What is
check
this
it out
logo
on Instagram.
Scissors,
just keep on looking.
Yeah, with scissors and a shamrock. Like, I just didn't put my name. I put scissors on it. And then I put the shamrocks for, because I'm Irish, you know?
That's so, a great logo.
Like, when you ask about branding, like, for me, it started being really strategic. Like, everything that I post on Instagram had some sort of like strategy for it. Like, the time I would post, the caption I would write, the, you know, like, I started getting more strategic as it went on. Like, for example, like, I'll do a haircut for a player, like Lamar Jackson, for example. Like, I did a haircut for Lamar Jackson and I held his picture as hard as it was to hold his picture and not show like the world that I cut Lamar. I held his picture until he received the MVP award. Then I posted it.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, holy shit, Patty just cut the MVP. You know what I mean? So it's like stuff like that. Like everything you see me post pretty much has some sort of strategy to it where it's just gonna make my brand look better.
You're not posting just willy-nilly. There's an actual like a thought behind it.
Yeah.
Like that must take a ridiculous amount of restraint and discipline on your end. Because
I was gonna say that, man, that's kind of
anybody
tough.
Is just posting just to get likes and all that shit, but like you're making this work for you.
Yeah, like so I'll hold people's pictures until they have a great game or you know, stuff like that. And as far as what branding has done for me is like I can go, what's crazy is right now I can go to any country and put out a post that I'm in their country and people would hit me back like, oh, stop
people
by.
Search you up. People you look know, for like, you.
I just started like recently I broke up with, you know, not recently, months ago, but I broke up with a girl and now I'm talking to another girl and she's from the UK, which is, you know what I mean? It's like,
what?
Yeah, right. It's crazy. It's like, how would I have found her if it wasn't for like me branding myself? Like, how would she have found me? You know what I mean? It's like,
it opens doors personally. What, how many doors does it open professionally?
I've been to Ireland. They brought me to Ireland before, right before COVID hit, they were going to bring me out to the UK for a big barber show. But obviously that got canceled. I was going to
postponed, not canceled.
Yeah, postponed, exactly.
It'll happen.
Right before COVID again, I was supposed to go to Brazil for the company I'm sponsored by. So it's just opened, you know, crazy, crazy doors.
Because you placed the logo properly and you spent your own money, you hustled and you put yourself out there.
Exactly.
Dude, that's
a lesson to be learned, everybody.
Oh yeah, people better get their pens out. I mean, waiting for a specific moment to post something when, you know, at the time you were smaller than you are now, it's probably like, shit, do I really got to wait? I want people to see this. But having that self-control and the restraint to, and the mindset to know that let's wait for when he's trending, boom, and then your followers go crazy. I mean, and what was that like, seeing your followers go, you know, even getting your first 10,000? What was that like?
It was crazy up until I stopped like not getting that excited after like 50,000, but like 10, I was like, you know, fucking hype about it, you know, 25. Yeah. Like I was, you know, telling everyone 50. And then like, you know, now I don't really care. Now it's more about the content I post than the followers.
Mm-hmm. You have the followers. Now you just got your, like, yeah, continuing because to post content that they're interested in.
There's a big difference in branding between putting out great content and putting out content to get followers. Like, you can put out just mediocre content that's clickbait and people will start following you. Or you could, it's crazy, or you could put out like incredible work and not as many people see it, but it just makes your image look better, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I would rather have quality versus quantity any day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because quality will turn into quantity once the right people see it, because anybody can just click on something because they think it looks cool.
Yeah.
But you're going to click on it because you feel it's, you know, it's cool. You know, it works for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this leads me to this question where you're growing. And then I remember at a certain point, didn't you take a long break off of Instagram?
Yeah. That's when I had to get, I went away to get clean for the last time. And then I got done doing that. That was like 5 years ago. So I went through the rehab center, and then I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm just going to take a year break. Like, I'm just going to like ground myself, you know, focus, and then, you know, just do what I got to do. And it's funny because we're talking about waiting to post. During that 1 year break, that's when I started cutting all these NFL players.
So like, wow.
So I waited, if you can go back and look at my dates where I posted them, I waited till January 1st to start posting these guys. Like, I literally waited until I said I was going to come back on Instagram to start posting these guys. Man, so that was
that's got to be an amazing like content to come back with. Like, yeah, you're off this long, and then when people, like, everybody has it on their phone, pops up, so and so has just posted for the first time in a long time, and you see all these amazing posts and players and just a great story behind everything.
Yeah.
And I think it's very intriguing.
I'm sure that also gives you a mindset of, okay, I can come up with this game plan. I said, I'm going to take this break. But during that, where you're not posting, pretty much you're living off of word of mouth, right? Getting ideas of when you do come back to social media, this is how I'm going to play it. This is what I'm going to do. And then you have all this content that's not published yet, exactly, ready to go. So it's like getting your house in order while also having a plan for your brand to grow when you get back. And that's genius, man.
It also makes you appreciate it more. Like I told you, when you said you took a break, I'm like, bro, you're going to come back and you're going to appreciate podcasting more than you already did. Just getting that little break sometimes is like, it's refreshing. And then you come back and you're like, all right, I'm fucking ready to start killing shit, you know?
New eyes, yeah, new ears, new ideas.
Yeah. At first, I didn't know if I was going to be gone for a month or 2 months. And literally after 2 weeks, I was itching to get back. I'm like, damn, dude, like I miss it this much. And I'm in therapy. I have a therapist because, you know, I think that's really important, mental health and the stigma of people being afraid to acknowledge that they need help or even saying that they're in therapy. Like I've been in therapy for probably 7 months. And for the first 2 to 3 months, I kept it a secret. Yeah. And I don't even know why. Like, why?
It's just the stigma, bro. It's just the stigma. Right.
Like, you know, Charles Grillo, you know him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So when he found out I was in therapy, he's like, why do you like hide all of your really important shit until like 3 months later? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, that's why I'm in therapy, to work on that kind of shit. But, and I asked my therapist that. I was like, I really want to go back. I know I said I was going to take this break for maybe 8 weeks, but I really want to go back right now. And he's like, all right, at least take a month and then see what you want to do. But he's like, having something that you look forward to, or that gives you a creative outlet, or something that is, yeah, a hobby, but hopefully one day this turns into my career. And he's like, having something like that isn't necessarily a bad idea. He's like, as long as you're not like only doing it for the hopes of getting views, and you're always looking at your phone for views. He's like, as long as you're not doing that, then I don't see any problem with having a podcast and you doing it once a week or however many times a week you want to do it. He's like, it's just be passion. Honest. Yeah. But as long as I'm honest with myself that if I need a break, I'll take a break. And like Pat said, like I missed it so much that this was supposed to be my first time back, but I went back and had an episode come out Thursday because I missed it so much and I wanted to retune a little bit. So I think that goes a long way with, you know, if you have a passion, great, but don't let it become toxic. And if it is, step back.
It's, you know, like you, like saying that just brings me back to why I got off for a little bit, because just like what your therapist was saying, right before, you know, I took that break, I was using social media, not as like, I started using it as a way to feel like better about myself than rather than like promote myself, if that makes sense. Like, oh, look at all these likes, look at all these comments. People are, you know, gassing me up. It makes you feel good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and well, that's the
recognition and the props, all that makes anybody feel good. It's just, like, everybody likes to hear that.
It's just the wrong way to go, you know, it's just the wrong way to go about using your social media tool. You know, you're using it as like, it's almost like a drug. Like, you're using it like to feel good about yourself rather than, you know, use it as, it's your therapist hit it right on the head. You know, we got to do this because we got to do things because we love to do it, not because like we do it to impress other people so they make us feel good, you know?
Yeah. And then at the same time, you know, that feeling, the dopamine hit is going to happen every now and then, but you can't let it be the only thing you do it for. Like, for instance, Spotify Wrap just came out, and these are just stats for Spotify. Apple doesn't do this yet. They need to, especially for podcasters. They give podcasters no feedback at all. And if you're a podcaster, I'm sure you're pretty fed up with Apple too, because, you know, probably 65% of the Seed Invaders audience comes from Apple and they give me no feedback at all. So how am I supposed to think of ideas and retool a little bit? For instance, Spotify, with Spotify Wrap, they tell me that, what was it, Brad? Like 70% of listeners listen around 11 a.m. and 5 p.m.?
Yeah, between 11 and 5, and X amount of countries started listening, and
18 new countries this year. Yeah.
Countries.
So,
countries.
Yeah.
Not people. Countries.
Out of control. So people, I know. I know. It was Australia, Denmark, Argentina, and Ireland. There are four newest, biggest fans. So everybody from those countries, what's up? And we got Patty Cuts on, Irish fella. And I'm Irish and Scottish myself. And Canada, you guys need to step it up a little bit. No, I'm kidding. You guys have been there from day one.
I'm going to walk around with my new tattoo, the Innovator's tattoo. You know, it's fine.
Oh, you got one? I'll get one with you.
I'll get one.
That'd be
fun. I'll get another one.
So, but the meaning of me saying that is, yeah, was I really happy to see that 18 countries listen this year on Spotify alone? So it's probably more than that on Apple. Yeah, of course I was. But I recognized that I needed a break, and I took the break. And I at least lasted a month off. But now I'm back, and I have all these new ideas, and we're supposed to have a meeting in January to go over all these ideas and do more stuff for YouTube. And everybody wants to learn how to edit, and everybody's coming up with ideas for shows. Like, Brad, you're going to have two shows now on YouTube. And
two and a half if Chone wakes up.
Oh, okay. I remember that one. Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure you get that dopamine hit as well, Brad, because you started off as a fan, and now you have these shows and you're in the
I joke about, you ever see the movie Rockstar with Marky Mark?
Yeah.
Have you started out as a fan and then he's part of the show?
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's just what I joke about. Now, I don't look as good as Marky Mark, but
you do.
I'm taller. That's all I got.
Well, I'm sure you get that too, because I'm sure you've had friends that have been like, "Yo, Brad, nice job," like something like that. And even before that,
actually, yeah, a lot of friends on Facebook and all that stuff. I get recognition, and they pass it to people. And there was a young woman in Korea that sent me a message about my Double Dragon show.
Get out!
Yeah,
so I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, that just happened like yesterday.
Dude, that is awesome, man.
Enjoy. Have fun. More's coming, because she was bitching about me. How come you haven't done any in a while? Like, oh, I'll get back on it. Like,
wow, dude.
But
that's,
you know,
so
it's
cool.
It's not just having to do it. I want to do it.
Right.
And
me too.
I know everybody here on the show, if there was one person that watched we would do it. One
right,
person,
exactly.
10 people, 1,000 people. As long as there's somebody. Or even nobody. We just do it, just have fun.
Yeah, like we were talking pre-show how you were my first international listener, and now you're part of the show, and there's 18 countries. Like, it's just out of control. Like,
it is. It's awesome.
It's really, really cool. But at the same time, you got to stay grounded and not do it just for those reasons. So, Pat, what advice would you...
That sounds what Pat did. Pat stayed very grounded in, like, he's got some God-given talent and all around it, but to stay grounded with what, honestly, lives that people dream about is what you're living right now. It sounds silly, but honestly, people do. Like, to see who you see, to associate with what you do, to have the fun that you do, that's somebody's dream that you're living. And to stay so grounded is very commendable.
Yeah, I just, you know, like, I still, you know, like, when I get back home, like, when I get back here, like, my boys are going to come over and watch the games with me, you know, like, they help me stay grounded. Like they're just dudes that work regular jobs. Like I just stay grounded by the people around me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's some people that let it get to their head and they're doing it. You know, it's like, for me, it's easy, 'cause I'm just around good dudes. You know what I mean?
Having good friends that'll bust your balls.
Yeah.
Always helps.
They don't give a shit.
They know where you come from, and that's where you're always going to be to them, which is perfect.
100%.
Go ahead, Dan. I was just going to say, I got a great example of this, two sides of the coin here. So one is, there's a lot of new young kids these days, specifically TikTokers, that become famous very, very quickly. I'm talking within a month or two. They'll start posting, and then all of a sudden they got this brand deal and they got close to $1 million in their bank account right away. Like, look at Bella Porch, to be specific. She was in the Philippines living a horrible life, and then she joined the Navy in the Philippines. After that, moved to the US, posted a couple TikToks, and then her music video became like the highest downloaded YouTube video in like two days or something like that. So she became famous very, very quickly. And she came from a life that was not good, but she seems like she's grounded. But on the other side of the coin, one of the reasons I got into podcasting, Andrew Hales from the YouTube channel Laugh, LAHWF, he was like the originator of a YouTube prankster. And he would make these awkward videos of him just pranking people in Utah. And he became so famous. Where he was making like tens of millions of dollars. And all of a sudden, he didn't like doing pranks anymore. He felt like it was cheap.
Beneath him.
And he could do something different. So he wanted to start interviewing people. But long story short, he became broke. And he had 2 to 3 million followers on YouTube, and he was broke. So he put out a YouTube video about this. And that is kind of what got him back on track, because he talked about everything. Like, man, I was an asshole back then. I really let my head get ahead of me, and I made some really dumb purchases. But now he's living kind of a normal life while also being a YouTuber, And he does videos of motivation. He talks about mental illness, depression. He talks about even if your therapist or your psychiatrist says you should be on something, maybe it's not the best thing. Like he was on Adderall prescribed, but then he became super addicted to something he was prescribed to. So someone like him, I really love listening to because he's had it all, but now he has a life that not necessarily has it all, but he loves where he's at right now. And he went through a severe bout with depression because he came from the top, went to the bottom, and now he's building his way back up. He's not where he was, but that's not where he wants to be anyway, because he doesn't want to be doing
in such a short span too. Like it was like not instant success, but like a very, it didn't seem like a lot of these guys, like they're falling stars, burn out way too quick because it's instant success and nobody tells anybody what to do with success.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a career opportunity right there. But that kind of circles back to the second part of my question, Pat, like hurting your brand, not yours, mm-hmm. or just like mm-hmm. you've seen other people fall down, unfortunately, but you can do one silly thing. I heard an interview with Tom Hanks that he says, you know what? I'm one, hey, fuck off asshole, from being the nicest guy in Hollywood to being his name being Mud.
It's the truth. It's the truth. My opinion on it is like, okay, so, cause I'm very like conscious of like what I do and what I post. And like, I'm very conscious of keeping my brand like the same as it was when I started. I want to keep it, you know, on that line. You know, I don't want to start going all these different ways. So for example, like, say I'm like, you know, I post good haircuts. I give advice for stuff. I do, you know, tutorials here and there. I keep my stuff very professional. What if I start like all of a sudden getting into politics? You know what I'm saying? Like people don't want that. Like that's not my brand. Like that's not my brand. So now all of a sudden I'm taking that straight line and I'm bending it different ways, if that makes sense. Right. So now I got one half of my audience that starting to like me even more. And then one half that's like starting to like me less. Like once you start like doing stuff like that, like getting away from brands, you know, just like doing stuff that's not even controversial. Just like, I don't know. I just think like it's very important.
Maybe like polarizing. Like I love your haircuts, but I don't agree with your political.
Yeah,
choices.
Just like
it's going to taint how I feel about your haircuts.
Yeah, yeah. You just got to know where you're at. Like you're not. You know, you're not. Like what? Like. Who is the most famous guy in all sports besides Brady? It's LeBron James.
LeBron, yeah.
LeBron.
Why is LeBron the most scrutinized athlete if he's the most famous? Because he goes, you know, he isn't scared to talk about politics and stuff like that. And some people like it, some people don't. But for me personally, I'm not gonna risk like going into all this stuff that I'm not even an expert about. Like I'm an expert in cutting hair, you know, I'm not an expert in politics. So I'm not going to start giving all my opinions, and I'm not talking about just politics, just like,
no, that's just an example, but
it's an example.
Like the smartest thing to do is, you know, stay with what brought you to the party, stay in your lane.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I mean, it's cool to, don't get me wrong. It is very important to show your personality somewhat. And I'm starting to realize that now, because for a while I would just post haircuts and people weren't getting to know like exactly who I was. So now I start like sprinkling in a little bit of like who I am, but I'm still very conscious of like, not to give
what you're gonna
too
show.
Much. Yeah, exactly. Not to give too much, you know, like to just stay professional, but also let people get to know me.
Perfect time when you said about you wanted to show like how you are personally, because after a while people start buying who, after the brand, they buy you after a while. Like they want to know you, what you are.
That's so right. Yep.
Yeah, oh, like that is like 100%.
Even if you're not the best barber, you know what, I like him, so I'm going to continue to go to him because I like what he's talking about sometimes, or I like his opinions, or he's being who he is.
Yep.
That's what I tell people sometimes. We all know he is the best barber, so let's keep that straight.
Yeah, but that's what I tell people. People start buying into investing in.
That's such a good, and I'm starting to see that more. Like, that's such a good point. I'm seeing it with myself, and I'm seeing it with Usman. Like, the bigger he gets, the more like, all right, we need to show, not that he can fight. Everyone knows he can fight. Everyone knows he's the best in the world. We need to show his personality. You know what I mean? So that, like, what you just brought up is such an incredible point.
I think everybody wants to be able to relate with what they do, with what the person they do. I go back, I don't know if you guys ever remember this show, Orange County Choppers, American Choppers.
Yeah.
You remember those guys that they started making it? Really cool motorcycles, and that's what got me in. And as the show progressed, it stopped being about the motorcycles and about the family. Because people wanted to like the personalities and the people that produced what they loved. But I could see how that would be, that's a hard line to ride. To actually, like, it's separating the art from the artist.
No, for sure. I mean, that's a great point too.
I have one more question.
Yeah, for sure.
Put it down. All right, perfect. All right, you know how you got the passion for cutting hair?
Yep.
Do you feel like video photography is your next passion?
So that's a great question. Right now doing photo and video is way more of a passion than cutting hair right now. It's just like something new. It's something like, I am not saying that I can definitely get better at cutting hair. Like, I am nowhere near the best. I can name 100 barbers that are technically more skilled than me, probably more than 100. But like, so I ain't saying I'm like, don't have any, I can't get better at cutting hair, but as for photo and video, I need to get like so much better. So it's more of like something new to try and like challenge myself, you know? And it's fun. It's like fun for me to do that. Like, I'll sit on YouTube, watch a whole bunch of videos, and then practice it and then learn it. And then like, I finally like do what I wanted to do. And I feel it just, you feel accomplished. You know what I mean? So my passion for doing that right now is way greater than cutting hair right now, even though I love cutting hair.
How did that start? What sparked the interest in that field? Cause that's a niche field as well.
It's very niche. When you asked about brand, like the whole branding thing, like how I got there, like how I got known was because I was definitely one of the first barbers that started posting their haircuts with a professional camera. Like everyone, like this was years
ago. Oh, really?
So everyone else was, you know, taking pictures with their cell phone and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I went out and got, you know, I called my sister, she's a photographer. I was like, what should I get? What lens, what camera? Like, I don't care how much it is, just tell me what I should get. And she told me, you know, get this camera, get this lens. And I started taking pictures of my haircuts with it. And it's really started like inspiring me to get into photography. And then I started doing videos, same thing. So
it was a basic just, you know, showing your God-given talent and what you do and training as well. And it just kind of evolved. This can look better. Kind of just basically like what you do now, cutting hair. Okay, I can make this look better. Now, how can I make this look better? And it just kind of evolved to that. Not evolved. I mean, you worked for it. And you obviously, like, you're so freaking calculating and smart about how you do things. Like, it doesn't sound like you make too many moves that aren't carefully weighed and considered, not in a calculating way or anything like that, but that's just the way you are.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like I got to a point where, like now I just calculate everything that I'm going to either do or put out or you know, learn next or whatever, you know, like what.
Well, that definitely, that definitely helps with the scheduling and with the gentleman you're following. And like back to being like the door in, like how do you see, how do you want to be seen? How do you want your client to be seen? That's fantastic. I love it. Hats off to you, man. That is so
cool. If you're not following trends, you're really trendsetting. You don't even notice it. Like how you wait so long to post somebody famous to cut, you waited. Cause anybody else would be like, no, I gotta do this now.
Yeah, I know.
That's how you become a trendsetter. Like you start new trends without even trying.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I just always like when Derrick Henry, when he won the rushing title last year, like for the second time in a row, you can go to my page and the day after he won the rushing title, you can look at the date. And I said, honor to cut my boy, Derrick Henry, who just won his second rushing. You know what I mean? So like,
no, oh, that's so cool.
You know how like, hard it is to hold on to Derrick Henry's photo, the best running back in all of football. Like that, it's just hard to do that, but it's not hard anymore. But I used to be so excited, like, oh, I just cut this dude. You know what I mean?
I would tell everybody. I would, like, push people over on the street and say, guess what? Like, oh, I couldn't do it. But this one's ridiculous. Commendable.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But it all comes down to, that's just, like, it all comes down to your first question, the branding. You know, it's all.
It's a talent you had right there without even noticing.
It's all strategic. Like, this is how I brand, you know?
Yeah, it's very smart. I've been watching, I've been learning. I'm like, no, I'm going to hold off on posting this, save this picture for later, keep it in my notes as a reminder.
Yeah, no, for sure.
No, I'm going to remember this conversation. Now, I don't do anything famous at all, so I don't have to worry about that. I got this picture of a dog that looked weird, so I'm going to hold on to that for at least 20 minutes before I post it.
Yep.
That's the difference. That's all we have in Canada is we've got beer and dogs. That's all we post.
Beers.
And maybe the occasional hockey player, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Dogs are better.
Yeah, Canadians have hockey players on their money.
Yes, we do. And college. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so kind of the last part of the interview here. Now, I know you guys just talked about videography a little bit. But I want to talk about, like, how did you really evolve into that? And do you want to do it more?
So, I was just telling the boys, like, this is, like, my passion right now. You know what I mean? How I evolved into that was a process. So, like, you know, I kind of told you before, like, I got a camera, started shooting my haircuts. I was, like, getting better at shooting my haircuts. They were looking better. I was like, you know what? Let me try the video with this thing. Started videoing haircuts. I was like, damn, this is kind of fun. Started videoing my cat. You know what I mean? Like just stupid videos, like doing transitions, doing music, doing cuts. I'm like, damn, this shit's fun. Like I like doing this, you know? So how it evolved, that's it. That's crazy because it all just kind of worked out. Like now the reason I can like focus so hard on this is because I got a sponsorship with Babyliss, the Clipper company. I got a sponsorship with Old Spice. Having those two things allow me not to have to work behind the barber chair for 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. You know what I mean? So now I just cut the famous people, like not famous people. I don't like saying that.
You can say it. You can say it.
I just like, I just like cutting, you know, the guys that, you know, they pay me good. So I don't have to like be behind a chair for like all day. I can make good money doing one or two haircuts, come back, learn and practice this video stuff, be available for, you know, now I'm available for Usman when he needs me, you know, that's part of the job. And how it evolved is like, it's crazy because it goes hand in hand with cutting hair. Like, bro, I just jumped. I'm technically an amateur videographer, photographer, Like, let's be real. I'm an amateur. I still don't even know how to do half the shit. But I just jumped all these fucking professional photographers and videographers into filming these superstar athletes because of my relationship with them with cutting hair. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like these, like the, all these dudes, these video, like all these video guys and photo guys, they're working hard to get to these superstars, you know? And I just completely jumped the line because I was their barber first. And then they started like, damn, he's kind of dope with the camera. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like how it evolved. Like it just evolved through like relationships with the boys, you know?
But another commendable thing is you're not one dimensional. You're like, mm-hmm. you could rest on your laurels and just do haircuts and stuff, but then you found another passion that was inspired by it to help your brand that's going to turn into something else. Like, who knows what's next?
Yeah.
Something where you start is never where you should end. You're going to keep evolving. Like, next interview, like, you're going to be acting or directing or something like that. Like, I know, I shit you not. You
never know.
You got that fire, that spark. You're not going to rest on your laurels. You're just going to keep going.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I will. I know that. I definitely will. I will be trying to level up. So I don't know where it's going to take me, but I just have fun with it. You know what I mean? It just makes me like Dan knows my history. Like I've been depressed. Like I've had a tough life, and like I just do shit that makes me like have fun and be happy now. You know what I mean?
Well, those are wise words right there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud that you aren't afraid to share that you have dealt with depression, and you can be honest with the fact that there's never really a way to beat depression. It's always kind of there because I haven't myself, and it's always kind of there. And sometimes it gets the best of me personally where, you know, I'll have plans for the day and I'm just not feeling up to it. So I kind of just become lazy that day, but you can't let it control your life. That's the most important part.
And so it comes, you're so right, because it comes like, it'll just come like, you know, like you'll just be lazy, you know, and you don't think it's depression, but it's kind of like I was kind of like, I don't know, the past couple months just living by myself and, you know, like, yeah, I was getting a little lazy and I wasn't like full out depressed, couldn't get out of my bed. Like, you know, like people think that's what depression is, but it's really not. It's just like, you know, just little things, like just like little thoughts you get, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you do something different. Like the past couple of weeks have been great. I've been talking to this girl. She's a barber from the UK. She's dope. And like, now I'm like, you know, it's just like, it just like stuff like that, like doing new thing, like just like being happy, like it just helps you get out of that, you know what I mean? Because I know exactly what you're talking about with the depression stuff. Like it comes up, like, you know, gradually, you know what I mean?
Right. And to really let the listeners know, if you're dealing with something, go talk to somebody. Like, don't 100%. Let do not let the stigma control you, because to be honest, I should have done therapy probably 10 years ago, or maybe more. I'm 32. And the first real issue I had was actually considered PTSD, where when I was 18, I was in a school in Florida and I walked in on my roommate attempting suicide. And that really got me. It was way worse than I let on. You know, when I was around my friends after that happened, I was probably, if they asked me if I was okay, I was like, yeah, I'm fine. But for real, I couldn't be alone. Like, if I was in a room by myself, I was always like so paranoid that, dude, I even had visions of this guy coming to kill me. And like, that makes no sense at all. You know, I helped save his life. Why would he want to kill me? But that, you can't like even explain what depression does to you. It really fucks with your head. So, if you're dealing with something, go talk to somebody. It's going to help.
There's myriad of ways to actually get help. You can do it online. You can do it over the phone. There is a million therapists, all credited, waiting to help you. Yeah. I'm more worried about the people that don't get help than get help. So just relax. No one's going to say nothing. And if they do, they're just going to say, congratulations, I'm glad you got help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how Canada deals with it, but I know, like, for instance, I know that in Argentina, over half the population of Argentina is in therapy. And that is just,
that's huge.
It's good because in America, the numbers don't even come close to that. And in America specifically, I think the stigma might be the worst. I don't know about how's the stigma in Canada? It's probably not too bad, or am I assuming that?
No, actually, the stigma in Canada is we have socialized medicine. So that's one thing. And through my personal work, we have benefits that offer free therapy for whatever your issue is. And it is not an elaborate package or anything like that. It's pretty standard through most places that you work for accredited that there's therapy, anything from marital troubles to financial woes to eating disorders, anything. It's there. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing is just getting over the fact that everyone's ashamed that they have a problem. Mm-hmm. I hate to tell you this, everybody has a problem. Yeah. I don't care how big or small it is, and it always feels good to talk about it.
Yep.
I've been in therapy for a couple of years.
Oh yeah.
I've never mentioned it, not out of shame or anything like that, but it's just because everybody in Canada is in therapy one way or the other.
Honestly. Good.
It's cold good. Up here. It sucks.
Yeah.
It's all dark the bears. Right now. It's 3 o'clock and it's dark. Come on.
It's dark, really? Oh man. Yeah. Well, I think that's good that we're all mentioning that and that you should definitely not be afraid of it because honestly, every time I have a session, I feel better. And it gives me a plan for the week of, all right, let's try this, let's try new things. And yeah, I can't speak highly enough about it. So any closing questions for Pat here before we get into kind of the what's new and what we're all watching and everything?
So or anything you want to mention? Three cases of Canadian beer, get me a haircut.
Yeah, we can definitely work something out.
All right, cool. That's if they let me cross the border. Since the incident.
Oh God, I don't even want to know what the.
That's another show. That's another show.
Okay, so if you guys are interested in hearing more questions for Pat, I always put his name in the title just so it's easier to find. So if you just search up Scenovators Patty Cutts, you'll find the other two episodes, and I'm sure he'll be on again to talk more. So if you guys want questions for him, just send in scenovators@gmail.com. And I'm sure, you know, depending on the question, Pat will definitely have some insight on whatever you have to ask, whether it be, you know, mental health stuff, because Pat, I respect the hell out of you, how you're so open about it and to creating content, to evolving creation. And that is something that takes guts to want to do that and to attempt it. And now look, you know, you're the creative director of the best fighter in the world. That's insane, man. It really is. And I can't speak highly enough about how you have stayed grounded. And it's really, really impressive, man. So I think anyone out there listening could really learn something from you. So yeah, if anybody wants questions, scenovators@gmail.com, I will get the question over to him. And even if he answers when he's not on, you know, I'll read the answer out loud so you guys can hear it. So, all right. That was awesome. So how about we get into,
thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Thank you guys. I love it.
Yeah. It's really great stuff. So we're just going to get into what we've been watching. Maybe some stuff we're excited for. Maybe if Pat has any breaking news he wants to share with us, no pressure.
I got a couple things, you know?
Sweet.
Okay. All right. Before we get into that, I'm just going to mention one thing I watched, one thing I'm excited for. So the episode we did last time when I came back, I mentioned five or six things I'm excited for the rest of 2021. So TV shows or movies that I'm excited for that are yet to come out this year. So if you want to listen to that, it's just the last episode. Check it out. We give you plenty of recommendations. There's probably around 15 total that we give you. And that's always something I've been proud of and that I've been happy to do is share things for people to watch or write down stuff that they can watch in the future. Whenever someone asks me, you know, what do you want your fans to get out of your show? And it's always near the top of the list is recommendations, something to watch or something to be excited about. And that's what I've always loved to do. So it was really cool to get back to the roots and do an episode all on that. And one of the things I mentioned was Silent Night. This movie is fucking insane, people. Wow. It is the first of its kind that I'm aware of. It's a holiday movie that's also an apocalyptic movie. So it is out of control. Stars, like I said, Matthew Good, who played Ozymandias in Watchmen, the Zack Snyder version, and Keira Knightley. And also there's plenty of people that you guys would recognize in the movie. Her. Oh, me too, man. She's fantastic. And this is her second apocalyptic movie. She did Seeking a Friend for the End of the World with Steve Carell. And that was a comedy apocalyptic movie. This one is not a comedy, but it is fantastic. It is so well made. I loved it. And the ending, I cannot spoil it because it literally just came out like yesterday. I cannot spoil it. But the ending, holy shit. I was sitting there like, what? They just ended the movie like that? Okay. So I'll give you a little bit of details about it.
So was it better than the ending of Dune?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say so. yeah, I didn't really like the ending of Dune. I know you're kind of
Nobody
joking.
Did.
Yeah, I know.
Did.
It was literally like the ending of like episode 4 in a TV show that has 10 episodes. It just ended. Like, really? That's it? Now we got to wait 2 years? But yeah, if you've seen the poster of Silent Night, you're going to see a family, a bunch of Christmas decorations. But then in the window, a window is behind them. And in the window, there's all these twisters. So going in, I didn't watch the trailer. And going in, I thought that there was going to be some kind of twisters that ended the world, right? This is not really a spoiler, but they start the movie off like it's just any other holiday where their friends are coming over with their kids, if they have kids. The main family has 3 boys, and it just seems like everybody is just celebrating, right? Well, there's a scene during dinner that we find out that everyone is aware that something is coming. What it is the Russians have made some kind of, I don't even know what to call it, some kind of gas that will give you a very painful death. So you inhale the gas, and then it supposedly will like burn your insides out, and you have a very painful death, and there's no way to, yeah, and there's no way to stop it. You're going to die. So what happens is the government, there's certain people that make bunkers and they're going to wait it out for 100 years until it's safe to breathe again. But the government gives you an option. They say, if you don't want to suffer a painful death, just take this pill. It's painless and it'll kill you. And that's that. So it, yeah, it's fucked. It's fucked.
That's the option.
Yeah, it's fucked. So it's either you have a painful death, you wait 100 years under a bunker, which you're not going to make it out of. Maybe your grandkids will. Or you take this pill and you just die peacefully, right? So it gives a question. Would you give the pill to your kids? Would you take the pill? Would you want your friends to take the pill? How do you go about this? Or do you think that the gas is bullshit? Do you not believe in it? There's certain characters that don't believe it's going to kill you. So what do you do?
And it depends on which kid and which friend.
Yeah. So
favorites. Don't even lie.
The dinner scene, guys, incredible. Johnny Depp's daughter is in it, Lily Rose Depp. And that's how we kind of find out that something's fishy, because her boyfriend says she had a really tough night last night. And then the one character goes, "What? Why?" And then Matthew Good's like, "No, don't share. Don't share. Like, it's fine." And she describes an evening that sounds delightful. She laughed. She danced. She had fun. Her and her boyfriend told each other that they loved each other. And I'm like, why is this a bad night?
Sounds horrible.
Turns out it's because they're all supposed to die the next day. And that's why she had a bad night, because she was dealing with the fact
that that's going to end.
Yeah. She's dealing with the fact that she's going to die. Guys, this movie is so original, so well done. Very fucked. Very fucked.
Where can you watch it for anyone wondering?
Only in theaters right now.
Okay.
Sadly, is only in theaters.
No, not sadly. Go out, mask up, have theater experience, enjoy yourself, live your life.
Uh huh.
These people can't.
I highly suggest. Now, It only has 59% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm sure that's only because it's fucked. It's like a fucked up. It's not going to make you feel necessarily good, but it's going to make you question things like, what would I do if I'm in this scenario? Or like, do you guys know what you would do?
I have an ex-wife. Never mind.
I know. But guys, it's so well made. So Camille Griffin made it. I don't know her name on the top of my head, but she's been in the industry for a while. She was a producer on films like Daddy's Home, Daddy's Home 2, which she came from comedy and now she made this fucked movie. But
Marky Mark.
Yeah, it is. I can't even explain how good it is. I loved it. Now, if you've seen movies like The Mist, where that's probably the most fucked ending of all time, where there's monsters in the mist and the main character, Thomas Jane, he kills his entire family. And then the government is right there to save them right after he kills his whole family. And that's just like, what? That was a fucked ending. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the movie I compared it to, Melancholia, it does actually match up with certain things in Melancholia. And yeah, can't recommend it enough. Silent Night, go to the theater, check it out. It is wild, very well made. It'll probably make my top 10 list of the year, honestly. Like, I really liked it. Yeah, high recommend. What I'm excited for.
I'm going to check that out.
Check it out, Brad, and come back on and let me know what you thought of the ending. By that point, we'll be able to spoil it. Give it a couple weeks and then we can spoil it. But I want people to go in and just absorb this movie as you're watching it. Just absorb it, because there's so many writing cues that make you feel like Sasha was like, something's going on. She didn't know anything about the movie. And I knew a little bit because I saw the twisters in the poster. And what the twisters do is they bring the gas. So once you see once you see a twister, that means it's time to take the pill and
or die horribly.
And the ending was incredible. I really enjoyed it. Okay. I can't say anything else. I was about to spoil it. I can't say anything else. Check it out. Silent Night. Next up, coming in January of next year. So only a month or so away, Peacemaker, the TV show. Made by James Gunn. You guys see the trailer?
I'm looking forward to that. I'm so looking forward to that.
Me too. Pat, you see the trailer?
He was the breakout star in The Suicide Squad. He was so good in that. He's better than he should have been.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that, Pat? The Suicide Squad? Second one?
Yeah.
Okay. So it follows his character directly after that. So he somehow survives the gunshot to the neck from Bloodshot. And they even talk about it in the trailer. He tells his dad he got shot and a building fell on him. And his dad's like, well, how'd you get shot? And John Cena goes, well, I didn't want to get shot. Like, he's so funny in the way he plays the role. But there's an evolution of his character. They tell us in the trailer that, you know, he's definitely changed a little bit. And maybe he got humbled. And he doesn't want to necessarily kill anyone. Because one of the lines he had in The Suicide Squad was, I'll kill any man, woman, or child I have to, if it's going to bring ultimate peace. But now he doesn't necessarily want to live by that mantra anymore. He wants to have a code. So this show is going to be great. I love that it's coming out so early in next year. Can't wait to see it. And I am all in on this version of the DCEU. If they can build off of this. Yeah. If they can build off of this, I'm there. I mean, I'm going to watch them regardless. I love comic book movies, but if they can build off of this entry, and I love that they're having a TV show with, like you said, Brad, the breakout star of The Suicide Squad, which he was. I've seen it multiple times. Yeah, and he cracks me up every time I see it. The scene where they're killing people and like doing a competition, him in Bloodsport, is
when he grabbed the hatchet and walked past the dude that was sleeping and just says, chop, 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 smile looking right over. I died. I damn near wet myself laughing so hard I had to pause it.
And it is visceral.
He's so charming and clueless, and like he looks like the dumbest guy in the room.
I know,
but he's just, you know, that like he could kill you with a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. And I think so it's smart,
really hard to navigate with his handlers, and especially if he's, you know, near death experience is going to make you, okay, you know what, maybe I don't want to do all this. And, but your ultimate job, the reason you're still alive is to wander around and murder people.
That's yeah. Because
it makes for some fun.
He's supposed to be in prison. He's supposed to be in prison probably for his whole life, but the reason he's out is because he's so good at what he does and the government pays him to be a hitman basically. And yeah. It's really, really smart of DC and Warner to do a TV show of one of their better characters, because look at what Marvel's doing. They have so many shows out already and they're all pretty much really good on Disney Plus. So well,
I like the grounded stories. I love like the cosmic stuff for the movies and mm-hmm. like the big things for the movies, but for the TV shows, I like, I'm loving Hawkeye. I like the smaller stories, like not the world ending kind of things.
My favorite series so far would have to be Loki. I thought Loki was fantastic. I am enjoying Hawkeye. I'm really excited to see Kingpin again. I think we'll see him definitely before the end of the series. We might even see Matt Murdock, Daredevil. Charlie Cox is back playing him. He'll probably be in No Way Home. And I think it would be genius for them to show him in an episode of Hawkeye before No Way Home comes out. So
if you follow the comics, Kingpin is Echo's adopted father.
Okay. And in this, it sounds like he's her uncle.
Uncle. But Vincent D'Onofrio recently tweeted, "Oh, wow, I'm really loving these Marvel shows." Mm-hmm. To be very coy and mm-hmm. very like keeping his hand close. He's going to show up. He is going to show up. And it's going to be great, because the direction where they're going with this Hawkeye show, not to jump off the Peacemaker show, because I think they're both in the same kind of category, same vibe. That they're smaller, but they're just so damn entertaining. What Peacemaker is going to be is what Hawkeye is right now, and they're just fun. Want to watch?
And that's their first show. I'm sure it's not going to be the last. And James Gunn's involvement in it is vast. Like, he's really, really involved. And now he's busy right now, man. He's filming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. They're also going to film right after that a holiday special that's going to premiere next Christmas. Then he's going to go back to DC after that. I wouldn't be surprised if the holiday special is his last movie for Marvel, at least for now, because I think DC is going to open up their checkbook and be like, come make whatever the hell you want. And that's really smart for them to do, because that's their best movie, in my opinion, is The Suicide Squad with him making it. So really excited for that. So we have some really cool news that Pat's going to tell us. So I think we should end the show on that. So, Brad, what have you been watching?
I checked out the Mark Miller vehicle Super Crooks off of Netflix. It's old school anime. It's like looks like it's hand drawn anime. It reminds me of the style of, if anybody is an anime fan, Akira, with the detail, the smoothness, everything. It's basically about it comes out of if anybody watched it, I really liked it, but got canceled after one season. The Jupiter's Legacy Netflix show. It comes in that universe, except it's animated, and they kind of roll of, okay, what if you got superpowers and you were just not a very good superhero? You wanted to be one, but you're not a good one. It doesn't work out for you. What would you honestly do if you had superpowers and no one's interested in you being a superhero? You might kind of use your powers advantageous to commit crimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would. What would you do if you had the Force? If you were imbibed with all the midichlorians right now, would you go to a casino and play roulette? Would you play poker? Would you win a shit ton of money? You would. Mm-hmm. You would. Anybody would. And this kind of explores that. It's
like, that's cool. I like that.
The first two episodes they're stunning. They're beautiful to look at. Mark Millar is a fantastic comic writer, and he sold his entire Millerverse to Netflix for them to do whatever they wanted to. He produces most of it, so he has say, writes like little notes for them. He's a great writer, and this is just a really good show. It makes you think, makes you laugh, and makes you cringe a whole lot, because that is definitely Mark Miller style. But so yeah, check out Super Crooks and you know, tweet me that you hated it or you liked it or whatever, and message the show. Check it out on the Scene Invaders Lunch Table, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, Scene Invaders Lunch Table is on YouTube or on Facebook. I'm sorry, that's our fan group on Facebook, and then we're Scene Invaders on every other social media platform, including Facebook. We have we also have a Facebook page, Scene Invaders. So yeah, get on that or email sceneinvaders@gmail.com. We're very open to discuss any questions you guys have. And the lunch table is really fun. It has a lot of cool memes, funny memes, interesting topics, and it's a great community with great people. So yeah, Super Crooks is, dude, I've always had this teleportation like obsession. I think that's one of the coolest superhuman abilities, right?
Okay, and and me both. I think teleportation, like so much to the point that I like that movie Jumper with Hayden Christensen. And what did he do? What did he do with superpowers?
Rob Banks.
Crimes.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if you could teleport, if you're telling me you wouldn't teleport into a vault, take a couple $1 million, teleport out, you're lying. And that movie does that. And a lot of times teleportation is used as a power of good. And let's be honest, if there was people with superpowers, there would be tons of super crooks. So I'm going to check that show out. That's really cool. Any other things you want to mention?
Actually, speaking of anime, if you're into anime, a friend of mine recommended this show that really flew under the radar. It's got a horrible name. It's called Dance Into the Vampire Bund.
That's a name?
That's a name. Dance Into the Vampire Bund. Okay. It's about what if vampires were actually real? What would they do? How do they do it? And a bund apparently is another name for a garbage scow. I didn't know this. So vampires kind of live amongst us, are revealed on a talk show because it's anime, because nothing's ever normal. And they congregate on this bund and make it a vampire island, in which where they have members of the Vampire Guild in politics, they're acting, they're everything. They keep werewolves as guardians. It is, if you're in the mood for something ridiculous, check it out. It's a manga, it's an anime, it's every platform. It's, you know, it's stylized, it's smooth, it's bloody. And just to actually say that you watched something called Dance Into the Vampire Bund. Well, that's got to get a drink bot for you somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a, especially Morbius coming out soon. Vampires are going to be in again. They haven't been in since the Twilight days. And I love seeing the memes of, listen, ladies, you had Robert Pattinson for like 10 years. It's our turn to get him because
the boys get Batman. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And his performance in Tenet, I loved him in that too. And I love Tenet, man. Like, I don't get the hate on Tenet. I thought that was fantastic.
I love Tenet.
Oh, dude, so good, right? Man, I could, and that's something I could watch over and over again and always pick up something new. And that's Denzel Washington's kids, right? John David Washington?
John David Washington.
So Rowan wanted to mention True Story with Kevin Hart. I'm actually going on a podcast tonight as a guest to talk about that. It'll be live. I know you guys won't hear this because we're not going to post it in time, but I'll be live and I'll tweet it out, but that's doing nothing for you now. So, but yeah, I can't
just
wait to talk about that.
Remember when you heard Danny on that podcast, he's talking about it now.
Yeah. Or you could just, look at our link and check it out after he posted on his stream. It's the Western Reviews podcast. And, I'm excited to talk about that. But Pat, have you seen that?
No, not yet.
It's good. I recommend it. It's definitely good. And who else was in it? The old school guy back in the day. Look it up real quick. Superstar.
Oh, Wesley Snipes, right?
Wesley Snipes. Yeah.
I saw the cover.
Original Blade.
The OG Blade. Yeah, he plays Kevin Hart's brother. And it is insane. It takes place in Philly, but they shoot most of it in the LA soundstage because of COVID. But they do a lot of establishing shots to get a lot of Philly. And I work part-time at Wells Fargo Center, And a lot of it is supposed to be in Wells Fargo Center, but they only shoot, to my knowledge, at least one scene inside there. But really good guys. It deals with murder, with betrayal, with crazy shit, man. It's really good. So
all the good things that make a good story.
Yeah, what would you give that out of 10?
If you're not looking at comedy, it's real good.
Like, yeah, it's not a comedic role from Kevin Hart. Yeah, it's okay. It's good, definitely good more dramatic, and he tried something new there. But yeah, I'd give it a high rating, probably at least a 7 out of 10. But okay, Pat, what do you got for us?
Right now I'm just watching Dexter, and I'm really enjoying it. Like I was a little like, because I was a big Dexter fan.
Me too. I started watching that again too. It's really good. They nailed it.
And then like when they said they were gonna make this new one, I was like, you know how a lot of sequels are, you know, like after such an epic, you know, first, like the, like, you know, Dexter 10 years ago or whatever it was, that was epic, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know about it, you know? And I started watching it. I think the 5th episode comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm hooked. I'm really enjoying it. You are too?
Oh yeah. I'm completely invested because, well, the way they handle the sister.
Yeah.
And well, let's just be honest. Dexter isn't all there. He's mentally broken, not just being a serial killer, but all the other stresses he's dealt with and got away with.
Yep.
Can I spoil something?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. It's 5 weeks in. If you watch and you're watching it, Dexter left 10 years ago, he left his 5-year-old son. Well, 10 years later, he comes looking for him and he finds him. So Harrison is back, and it's not that whiny little annoyance that you really expect from it. It's an intriguing plot point that really opens up a whole lot for Dexter and for everything, honestly. It's not a hindrance. It's actually, it elevates the story.
It does. It does.
Yeah. Check, I've only seen one episode so far, but that happens in episode one, and I'm definitely going to binge it. I think you got me into Dexter, and I ended up binging it. You got me into Game of Thrones and Dexter.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. And I ended up binging
it. Shows on TV at the time. Holy.
I told the story the first time he was on. He came over, and I think you spent the week. Yeah, you spent the weekend at my house in South Philly.
Yeah. Yep.
And we were playing NHL just like we used to do at the Temple House. And he goes, "Yo, have you ever seen Game of Thrones?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't check it out yet." And this was Friday night, and season 2 debuted on Sunday night. You know how it used to always come out on Sunday at 9:00. And I'm like, "No, I actually haven't seen it." And he's like, "You want to? Like, I'll binge it with you right now." So that's what we did. We ended up binging it. And we get to the finale and Ned Stark dies. And I look over at him like, what just happened? They just killed the main character. And he goes, I know, dude, it's crazy. I know. So he's like, I know, isn't it crazy? I'm like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, all right, let's watch it on Sunday. And then after that, I didn't miss an episode ever. Yeah. So say what you will about the last season, but Game of Thrones really was an event. It was like something that everyone looked forward to. Yep. You know,
everybody watched.
Everyone watched. Everyone had a theory, and it was great. So yeah, I got to thank him for getting me into those two shows. And now Dexter's back. I'm happy Dexter's back because, you know, Dexter didn't have the best finale either, but really I only didn't like the last 30 seconds of the show. That's really the only thing I didn't like. I always said to fix that finale, all you had to do was put up plastic that he couldn't stop killing. So when they show his face being a lumberjack, just turn the camera a little bit and show him that he's still killing.
Some plastic in the background.
Right. But
some knives or something, some bloody knives or just something.
Right. But the reason they didn't do that is turns out he hasn't been killing this whole time. And you find that out when it comes back that he's been clean for a little while. So it's really cool that they came back, and I'm happy that they're doing that. I don't know how long it'll last. I'm guessing like 3 seasons max. Do you guys know anything about how long it'll last?
No, but it can go anywhere with what they got going on now.
He can move anywhere. They've established such a good base, and it reminds me of when he was like the unassuming blood analyst from the first season. Mm-hmm. He's just an unassuming Well, he's a store clerk in this one, and everybody loves him. He gets along with everybody. It's, but you know, you can't not be who you are. And yeah, you know, you can take a break, but yeah, you know, you'll be back. And he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really enjoying that. All right. What else have you been checking out?
I mean, that's, I'm going to watch, I'm going to get around to watching Money Heist. There's the, they just released the last 5 episodes of the whole series.
Oh, that's done after that.
I think so.
Okay. Do you watch that on? Oh, I don't know. I actually haven't started it. My father-in-law loves it. Now, do you watch it in subtitled or do you dub it?
I never ever dub. I just read the words and listen to the Spanish.
Smart man.
Yeah, that's how I did Squid Game, and I think it's really the best way to do it is to listen to it in the language that it comes from, because when you dub it, it takes away so much from the original performance. It really does. So
it's terrible dubbing. I mean, I can never watch anything dubbing ever. So
yeah, I agree with you on that. Did you ever see Alice in Borderland?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That's really similar to Squid Game for people out there that want to check that out. If you need a little bit more Squid Game, check it out. It's similar, but it's very different. I know, Pat, you know what I'm talking about there. Okay. So did you get confirmation? Are you allowed to give us any breaking news?
No,
you don't have to.
Yeah, I didn't ask, but someone close to me is filming a role in the next Black Panther 2. So is it known that they're filming? Because
they are filming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's been away, you know, he's been going back and forth to Atlanta since June. And he'll be a Navy officer. So it should be, you know, it should be cool to see some new faces in Black Panther 2, you know?
So cool, man. Yeah. So cool. And obviously with, you know, Chadwick Boseman, leaving the world way too soon. No one really knows what's going to happen. I know there's a lot of talk that maybe Michael B. Jordan will come back somehow, or maybe Shuri will be the next Black Panther, but we really don't know.
Spider-Man No Way Home is going to open up the multiverse. So
good call. Good call.
Anybody can pop in anywhere, because like you just find the right actor, find the right story, find the right character, and anything can happen.
Didn't even think of that. Good call. Yeah, that really is. That's smart.
There's an after credit sequence where Michael B. Jordan is looking for T'Challa to say, hey, man, I'm here. How can I help?
Interesting. Well, I like that.
Like you can do anything. Looking forward to all that.
I'm going to cry probably when I see the trailer. Yeah. When that first trailer comes out, it's going to be emotional. But man, Pat, that's crazy. Is it on your...
And then I showed you I was hanging out with Michaela. What's her last name?
Oh yeah, from Black Panther. From Black Mirror.
Yeah. She's been in a few things. And then Winston, what's his last name?
Winston Duke, yeah, my boy.
Yeah. I was hanging out with them. That was pretty cool. They're you know, I've met a few actors, I've cut a few actors. They're just they're like super nice people. Like it's just like exactly who you would think. Like you know, energy, nice, like.
Yeah, Michaela Cole. She's actually in The Last Jedi, I May Destroy You, and an episode of Black Mirror. So yeah, she's very talented. Is it on your bucket list to get to a movie premiere?
No, but it could be. I mean, I never thought about
it. Will be soon.
That would be cool, man.
Out of that, because we're going to follow.
Maybe I'll get to see Black Panther 2 before Woo! Anyone. So
you will
in Atlanta or wherever the hell they have their premieres, maybe LA, I don't know. But wow, that's great, dude. Dude, Pat, I need to thank you for coming on again. This was great. This talk was fucking awesome.
This was the best one yet for sure.
I think so.
Until the next one.
Have to get you back on whenever you can. But man, seriously. I can't be more happy for you, dude. No one deserves this more than you. You're the fucking man, dude. And you know, keep going, keep driving. You give me a lot of drive to want to keep going, because you know, you took something that was a hobby that you had passion for into your career. And that's what ultimately I want to do. And but like we said, people, it's Eventually
doing it, you know, it's not like you're doing it right now, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a process, you know?
Mm-hmm. And if you love the process, you don't work a day in your life. So, keep going, people. That's what we want to get you to do. All right. If you have a dream, go for it. Don't let anybody tell you no. All right.
Well, I mean, Patty, you're a damn inspiration, because this is nothing that fell in your lap. Like, you took this, you worked for it, you hustled, you were smart, and like, you deserve it because you've earned it. You've earned every damn step.
Thank you.
And just, you know what? Thanks for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure meeting you, man.
Likewise. This was so great. Awesome.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. And like I said, any questions for Pat, I will make sure to get them over to him. Let us know. And if you want to listen to the other episodes, like I said, just type Senior Bears Patty Cuts. You will find it. I promise. We're on every single podcast platform you could think of. We're on them all. And everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, thank you.